I ask that the Holy Spirit would come upon me, Lord, that if I could just have your power for just a little while, Lord. You know the amount of energy that's needed to preach a sermon like this, and I just pray you would help me. And even though we're dealing with a very specific topic tonight, there's still people here who need to hear from you. There's still people here who need to be challenged, who need to be ministered to, who need to be refreshed, who need to be encouraged, who need to be rebuked. And Lord, even though we're dealing with a very specific subject tonight, I pray you'd still use your word in their hearts. And Lord, I ask that you just let this be a time that would be very helpful in our Christian growth. We love you. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in Isaiah chapter number 14. And like you know, we're in our series on exposing false religions. And we dealt with the first sermon on the subject, and we talked about exposing Catholicism. And tonight, we're dealing with the next part, or the next sermon in that series, and that's on the subject of exposing Mormonism, the church or the religion entitled Mormonism, also known as the Latter-day Saints. They call themselves the Church of Jesus Christ, the Latter-day Saints. Now, before we really get into the Bible, I just want to give you, just as quickly as I can, some history and beliefs of the Mormon Church, because a lot of people don't understand exactly what it is the Mormons believe. And let me tell you something, it is out there. And I'll just give you some information of what they believe. The Mormon Church believes that trillions of planets scattered throughout the cosmos are ruled by gods, plural, who were once humans like us. And as far as our planet Earth is concerned, now listen to me. I feel like an idiot even just telling you what these people believe because it's so out there. But this is what they believe. This is not the Bible. This is not true. This is what they teach. They teach that to an unidentified God, a spirit child was conceived named Elohim. I think that's how they pronounce it. Elohim. There you go. And born to this God, who they don't know who it is, but they believe that there's all these universes, all these different worlds, and these worlds have these gods, and these gods have these spirit children. And they believe that born to one of these specific gods was this god named Elohim, and he was born to human parents, and through death and resurrection. Now, we're not talking about Jesus Christ. We're talking about another god now. This is what they teach. Through death and resurrection, this man was elevated to godhood. And they believe that this Elohim is the God of this world, and what we would refer to as our Heavenly Father. And that this man, this God, lives with many spiritual wives on a planet called Korah. Now look, I know it sounds like I'm telling you the script of like some sci-fi movie or something, but this is what these people believe. They believe that these gods who live on these worlds have endless spiritual reproduction, producing millions of spiritual children. And that these children will become humans. Now here's what they believe. This god, Elohim or whatever they call him, had all these wives, just tons of wives, and had all these millions of spiritual children. And they all came together and they decided that they're going to have to do something, and they're going to have to create something. Now, here's what you need to understand. The Mormon Church believes that Lucifer, Satan, and the Lord Jesus Christ are twin brothers. That they're both the firstborn children of this God. And when they came together and made this, you know, they were going to decide what it is that they're going to do exactly, and they decided that they're going to create a planet named Earth. And they're going to send all these spirit children to Earth as humans. And based on how they live their life, these humans could one day become gods. Now these, according to them, which is complete heresy, Lucifer and Jesus, according to the Mormons, are twin brothers, began to argue over which one of them would be the savior of the earth. Because Lucifer wanted to be the savior of the earth, and he wanted to force every human being to become a god. And the Mormon Jesus decided that, you know what? No, we would actually, we should give them a choice, and they should have a free choice like they do on other planets. So Lucifer and the Mormon Jesus began to argue and fight, and Lucifer was able to convince one third of the spirits. Now you start to see how they start to mix in some truth with a lie. But he was able to convince one third of the spirits to fight against Jesus and the other spirits and come down and try to take over. And obviously they lost the war or whatever. And this is what they believe, that Lucifer and his spirits became demons. And they were sent down to earth, and they would never be allowed to take human form. Now, the Mormon Church, let me tell you something, was established as a racist organization because they believe that of those millions of spirit children, those who did not choose a side in the fight, that they were punished by being given black skin and sent to earth as black people. That's what they teach. That's what they believe. Now, they'll tell you today they don't believe that, but that's what they believe when they started their religion. And then they believe that the spirit children who fought the most valiantly for Jesus were sent down to earth as humans. And of course, they were white, blonde, blue eyes, and they were born to nice Mormon families. This is what these people believe. They believe that this Elohim, or Elohim, however you pronounce it, and one of his goddess wives were actually Adam and Eve. So they don't believe Adam and Eve were humans. They believe that there was God and his wife. And they began to populate the earth. And that this Elohim had physical relationships with women and populated the earth. And they also believe, catch this, that this Elohim came down to earth and had a physical relationship with Mary. And that's where Jesus came from. They teach, and this is complete blasphemy, that Jesus took three wives while on earth. Mary, Martha, and Mary Magdalene. And that he had children on earth, which obviously is completely not true. The Bible completely disproves that, but that's what they teach. They also teach that, you know, when we read in the book of Acts where Jesus ascended up to heaven, and the angel said, you know, why stare ye gazing up into heaven? In the same way that he came, you know, that he left, he'll return, and how Jesus said that he's coming back in the clouds with great power and great glory. They believe that the Bible's wrong, and actually what happened was when Jesus ascended up to heaven, he crossed the ocean and came down and established a church with the Native Americans in the United States. That's what they believe. Of course, there's no proof about that. There's no fact about that. They came up with all these nations and these wars that happened in the United States area, Northern America. But, of course, there's no proof about it. But they say that there's these golden plates that hold the history, and that they were buried by some soldier named Moroni. And they believe that an angel or a spirit told Joseph Smith, who Joseph Smith is the man who started the Mormon Church, that an angel appeared to Joseph Smith and told him where to find the golden plates and commissioned him to start the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, the Mormon Church. Now, of course, the Mormons today, and by the way, this was about 200 years ago. I mean, this was in the 1800s. Now, of course, today the Mormons say they don't know where the golden tablets are, very conveniently. They don't have them. You know, I mean, I can understand if it was like 5,000 years, but we're talking about 200 years ago. I mean, we still have the Constitution of the United States. You'd think they'd be able to not misplace golden tablets that you know, form their religion, but somehow they must have accidentally sold it in a garage sale, and now they can't find them. The Mormon Church teaches that salvation comes through the Mormon Church. You must be a Mormon to be saved. The Mormon Church teaches that everybody will one day stand at the judgment before Elohim, Jesus, and Joseph Smith. And Joseph, and we'll talk about it here in a little bit, claimed to do more for the human race than any other man who's ever lived, including Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm just trying to give you an idea of what this church believes. Now, let's get to the Bible, and I'm going to be reading some quotes for you and stuff, but a lot of people don't really understand the history of the Mormon Church. They haven't been around for very long, just a couple hundred years, if that. But I just want to take, you know, I really could do like an entire series on the subject of exposing Mormonism. But I just have to take a few of the highlights and go through them in the Bible. Number one, let's talk about things that the Mormon church teaches that are just completely unscriptural and unbiblical. Number one, Mormons believe that men, okay, can become gods. And that God was once a man. That's what they teach. You know, Christianity teaches that God is the creator of the universe, that He's existed forever, and that one day we can spend eternity with Him in heaven. But let me tell you something. The Mormons actually teach that if you are a good Mormon, you could one day become a god of your own planet and be just like our God. And you know, you can take my word for it, but I want to read some quotes for you so you understand this. I'm going to read a quote for you from Lorenzo Snow. Lorenzo Snow was the fifth president of the latter of the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. A very famous quote. This is what he said. A very famous quote in the Mormon religion. Lorenzo Snow said, at least he coined this phrase. He said, "As man is, God once was. As God is, man may become." Now, listen to what he said. He said, as man is, the state that men are, God once was. So he's saying, God used to be a man. And as God is, man may become. So they're saying, God used to be like us, a man, and men can one day be like God. They believe that you and I, if we live a good Mormon life and do everything the Mormons say, could one day be elevated to the place where we can become gods. Now let me tell you something. The Mormon religion came out just a couple hundred years ago, but that doctrine, that teaching, has been from the beginning of the Bible. And let me prove it to you. We were there in Isaiah chapter number 14, and we were reading, I don't know if you caught it, a very famous scripture in regards to the devil, to Satan. There's a few passages in the Bible that really enlighten us on the man or on the person of Satan. And Isaiah 14 is one of them. Just begin reading at verse number 12. Look at what it says. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" Now you understand, Lucifer is Satan, okay? That's his name. Now here's what you understand. A lot of people believe that the reason that Satan, Lucifer, got thrown out of heaven is because he tried to usurp the authority of God and that he tried to become God. Like take the place of God. But let me tell you something, that's not true. That's not what happened. Look at verse 13. "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." This is what Lucifer said. "I will sit," now notice this word, "also upon the mount of the congregation in the sight of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be," notice this word, "like the Most High." Let me tell you something. The sin of Satan, the sin of Lucifer, was not that he was trying to take the place of God, is that he was trying to become a god also. Do you understand what I'm saying? He wasn't trying to remove God and put himself in the place of God. He was trying to be a god like God. Do you understand what I'm saying? He said, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Satan's sin was this. He wanted to be God. He didn't want to take the place of God. He didn't want to be the only God. He just wanted to also be a God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Go with me real quickly to Genesis chapter number 3. Now keep your finger there in Isaiah because we're coming back to Isaiah. But Genesis chapter number 3 and look at verse number 1. We read a very famous passage of the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. And in Genesis chapter number 3, in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the serpent," we know who the serpent is, right? Lucifer, Satan. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman," this is what Satan said, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Notice the first thing we ever hear Lucifer say in the Bible, Satan say in the Bible, what's he doing? Questioning God's word. He said, "Did God really say that?" Look at verse 2. "And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Look at verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. So first he questioned God's word. Now he's correcting God's word. Look at verse 5. This is the serpent speaking. The devil. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as... What's the next word? Do you see that? Knowing good and evil. Let me tell you what Satan's agenda is. Satan's agenda is this. When Satan came to Adam and Eve, you know how he made them fall? Here's how he made them fall. You do what I said and you can be. He didn't say you'll be God. He didn't say to Eve you'll be God. He said you'll be as God. He said you can be a God like God is God. And then we find out in Isaiah that Lucifer got thrown out of heaven. Not because he tried to replace God, but he was trying to be like God. Go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, you learn Isaiah? Go, keep your finger on Isaiah because we're coming back to it. But go past Jeremiah, Lamentations, and go to Ezekiel, chapter number 28. One of those big books there, Ezekiel, chapter number 28. We find here another passage that kind of teaches us about Satan. And look at, very consistent in the Bible. Ezekiel 28, the Bible says, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus. Okay? Now we're talking about a prince of Tyrus. You say, the word prince there means, the Bible uses the word prince to tell us somebody of authority, somebody who's a king. We think of a prince like the firstborn son of a king or something. But the Bible uses the word prince to just talk about, often about a governor or someone. And it said, he said, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, look what he said, I am a God. This is what the prince of Tyre said. He said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God. In the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God. So God is telling him, you know, you are a man, you are not God. Though thou set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasure. So this man, the prince of Tyre, was a very wise man. He was very good with finances. He was a very wealthy man. Look at verse 5. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. So this guy became rich, and then his heart was lifted up. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. The sin of this prince of Tyrus was that he wanted to be like God. In fact, he said, I am God. And you know what? Many, many political leaders throughout history have said they are God. Caesars in Rome were said that they were God on earth. Pharaoh was considered a god on earth. Many religious leaders consider themselves God. And this is what this prince of Tyrus did. Look at verse 7. God is preaching. Ezekiel is preaching to him. He says, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, and terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their sword against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the death of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. God is telling him, I'm going to kill you because you say that you're God when you're a man. Look at verse 9. I love how God is kind of sadistic. You know. Well, he's talking to this man. God is threatening this man. He said, I'm going to kill you. He said, you want to say you're God? Okay. Look at verse 9. He says, wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? He says, look, hey, when I send my army to kill you, before they, you know, take their sword and take your life, are you going to tell them you're God? See how God is talking to this man? He says, but thou shalt be a man and no God in the hands of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Now, you got to understand something. In verse 10, Ezekiel, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, stops preaching to this man, Prince of Tyre. Up to this point, we've been talking to an actual man, an actual political leader, who considered himself a God. But now God changes gears. And he's using this analogy of this man who considered himself a God, and he begins to teach us about another individual who wanted to consider himself a God. Notice verse 11. He continues to call him the Prince of Tyre, but we're talking about someone different now. Because notice he says in verse 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him. Now notice, before we're talking about the Prince of Tyrus, now we're talking about the king of Tyrus. Do you see the difference? And say unto him, thus saith the Lord God,
Thou settest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, who's in Eden, the garden of God? That the Bible tells us. Adam, Eve, and who else? The serpent. So who are we talking about? Look what he says. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Let me tell you something. The Bible tells us that Satan is a musical being. His body literally has tabrets and pipes, and he makes music. Verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub. A cherub is an angelic being. Satan was an angel. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountains, upon God, of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Let me tell you something. You know why God begins to talk to us about the king of Tyrus when he's talking to us about the prince of Tyrus? Because they both had the same sin. They both wanted to be as God. They both wanted to be like God. Isaiah 14 says that he lifted up his heart. He didn't want to replace God. He just wanted to also be a God. And the same serpent in the Garden of Eden went to Eve and he said, you can be a God. Let me tell you something. I saw Brother Vincent this morning that Mormonism is a satanic religion. That those people worship Satan. You say, why is that? Because let me tell you something. The belief that man could be God comes from one person. Satan. Lucifer. He's the one that came up with that. He's the one that came up with that doctrine. Lucifer said, hey, I'm the anointed cherub. I'm beautiful. The Bible says he was perfect in beauty and wisdom. He said, I've got all this. He said, I can be like God. And God said, no. And threw him out of heaven. And then he goes to Eve and he says, and he knocks the first door. I guess I wouldn't be surprised if the serpent walked up, you know, if he went up to Eve riding a bicycle, wearing a white shirt with a black tie and a little thing on here that said Elder Serpent. And he went up to Eve and he said, hey, do you want to be like God? Because that's exactly what the Mormon church does today. They're a bunch of Satan worshiping, devil worshiping. You say, why? How can you say that they worship the devil? Because the devil is the one who says that we can be like God. Let me tell you something. You and I cannot and will never be like God. Keep your finger there in Ezekiel and go back to Isaiah. Let me prove it to you. Let me read for you a few quotes. I read for you that verse there. As man is, God once was. As God is, man may be. Joseph Smith, who is the founder of the Mormon religion, said, let me read for you a quote. He said, God himself was once as we are now and is an exalted man and sits enthroned in yonder heavens. He continued to say, we have imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity. I will refute that idea. He continues to say, he was once a man like us. The Mormons believe that men can become gods and that God was once a man. It's a lie. That's a doctrine that comes straight out of Satan. I heard a preacher say this once, and I agree with it. They're not the Latter-day Saints, they're the Latter-day Satans. Because they're a satanic religion that is proposing the same doctrine that the serpent was proposing at the Garden of Eden when he said to Eve, you can be like a god. The same religion, and that's the religion, and by the way, even in prophecy, that's what Satan's trying to do. He's trying to be like God. And that's what the Mormon church teaches, that we can be like God. Number two, the Mormon church teaches that they believe that there are gods on other universes. So they believe that if I live a good Mormon life, that I will be exalted to be a god, but I won't be the god of earth, because that job's already taken. That's Elohim, or whatever. So they'll just give me another planet, and I'll be the god of that planet. So they believe in multiple gods. Let me read for you a couple quotes. Brigham Young. Who's ever heard of Brigham Young University? You ever heard of that? That's a huge university in Salt Lake City, Utah. It's a Mormon university. Brigham Young was the second prophet after Joseph Smith. He carried the torch for Mormonism when Joseph Smith died. And he was the second prophet of the Mormon church. And this is what Brigham Young said. He said, how many gods there are, I do not know. But there never was a time when there were not gods and worlds, and when men were not passing through the same ordeals that we are passing through. That's what he said. Joseph Smith said, hence, this is a quote from Joseph Smith. He said, hence, the doctrine of a plurality of gods is as prominent in the Bible as any other doctrine. He said, in the beginning of the head of God, in the beginning, the head of the gods called a council of the gods, and they came together and concocted a plan to create a world and people in it. The Mormons, let me tell you something. The Mormons try to act like they're Christians. The Mormons try to act like, oh, I'm just like you. We believe in Jesus like you. Let me tell you something. The Mormons do not believe that there is a God. They believe in a multiple God system. They believe that there are worlds and universes. Brigham Young said, how many gods there are? I don't know. He says, there's gods everywhere. You're there in Isaiah? Go to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43. Let me show you what the Bible says. Isaiah 43. Look at verse 10. Isaiah 43:10. This is God speaking. Let's see what God thinks about the Mormon religion. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Who's speaking? The Lord is. He said, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand, look what he says, that I am he. Before me there was no God. Do you see that? God very clearly in the Bible said that he is God, and before him there was no God. But Joseph Smith says, the doctrine of plurality of gods is prominent in the Bible. What Bible is he reading? Did he ever read the book of Isaiah? Because God said, hey, before me there was no God. You're there in Isaiah 43. Look at verse, let's keep reading verse 10. He said, before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Look at verse 11. I, the Lord is speaking, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Do you see that? Look at verse 12. I have declared and have saved and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? You're there in Isaiah 43. Look at Isaiah 44. Look at verse 6. Isaiah 44. Look at verse 6. Isaiah 44:6 says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last. Does that sound familiar? Who else said that in the book of Revelation? Jesus Christ said, I am the first, I am the last. And look, the Lord said, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Do you see that? And who as I shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancients of people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. The Bible is very clear. Do you think God's confused on this subject? He says, look, you asking me if there's a God? I don't know any other God. That's what God said. I like that. He says, I don't know any other God. He said, I'm the only God. I am he. Beside me there is none other. And there never be another God after me. You're there in Isaiah 44. Go to Isaiah 45. Look at verse 5. Isaiah 45. Look at verse 5. Isaiah 45:5 says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Skip down to verse number 14, same chapter. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee in chains. They shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplications unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God. Look at verse number 21. Go down to verse 21, same chapter. Verse 21. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness. And shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall swear. Does that sound familiar? Remember Philippians? It said that in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. See how the same verses in the Old Testament about Jehovah are used in the New Testament about Jesus Christ? Look at verse 24. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength, even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seeds of Israel be justified and shall glory. Do you see how just God keeps going over the same subject? He just keeps repeating himself. Sure. I am God. Beside me there is none else. There is no other God. I don't know of any other God. There's only one God. I'm from the beginning. I'm till the end. I am the first. I am the last. But the Mormon religion teaches. Hence the doctrine of a plurality of gods is prominent in the Bible. What Bible are you reading? That doesn't really sound... Go with me. Let me show you another verse. Go with me to 1 Timothy. And there's tons of verses I can show you. I'm just trying to show you ones that are close together to other verses I want to get to so we don't waste a lot of time. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Look at verse 5. 1 Timothy 2:5 in your New Testament. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Brigham Young said, how many gods there are? I do not know. But there never was a time when there were no gods, where there were not gods and worlds, and when men were not passing through the same ordeals we are passing. The Roman Catholic Church, good night. They're a bunch of heathen too. But the Mormons teach multiple gods. Now, they'll never tell you. Here's how they lie about it. You knock on a Mormon's door and you really pin them down on this, they'll say, no, we believe in one God, and here's how they get around it. They'll say, well, we only believe that there is one God for us. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's only one God for this world. So, like, we don't answer to any other gods, just our God, Elohim. But then if you pin him down and you're like, well, how many gods are there in all the universes? Then they're like, well, you know, it's a different story. They believe in a plurality. You say, and they try to hide it, that they don't believe in multiple gods, but they believe in multiple gods. You say, why do they hide the fact that they believe in multiple gods? Because they don't want to be exposed for the pagans they are. Let me tell you something. Pagans believe in polytheistic. The Egyptians and the Babylonians and the Greeks and the Romans and all these pagans and the Catholics and all these pagans believe in multiplicity of gods, that they pray to many gods. And the Mormons are exactly the same. They believe in multiple gods. They believe that Elohim was a god, and that Jesus became a god, and that Joseph Smith became a god, and there's all these gods. The Bible says, and the Bible is very clear, there is one God, and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And let me tell you something, you and I will never become gods. They believe that Jesus was not God in the flesh. He was a man on earth, but that because he lived a good life, he eventually became a God. Now, you're there in 1 Timothy chapter 2? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse number 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Look what it says. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up into glory. The Mormons teach that Jesus was flesh that eventually became God. The Bible tells us that Jesus was God and wrapped himself in flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. Go with me to, let's see, go back to Isaiah chapter 9. Did you keep your place in Isaiah? I told you to keep it there. You weren't listening. Isaiah chapter 9. Go. Let's do it quickly because we got cake and something afterwards. Isaiah chapter 9, look at verse 6. Isaiah 9:6 tells us it's a prophecy of Jesus Christ. You'll often hear this verse quoted during Christmas time. And the Bible says this about Jesus. Who's ever heard this verse during Christmas? For unto us a child is born. Who's ever heard that in Christmas? They're talking about Jesus. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called. Here's the names of Jesus. Wonderful. Counselor. Look what it says. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. Jesus was not a man who lived a good life, and because he lived a good life, they eventually promoted him to God. No. When he came, before he came, even in the book of Isaiah, when it's prophesied that he would come, he says, a son shall be born, and here's his name, the Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. Go with me to Matthew chapter 1. This is a common verse we've seen recently a lot, but let's just see it again. Matthew 1, look at verse number 20. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20. The Bible says, but while he thought on these things, talking about Joseph, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Not a man that eventually became God because he lived, because he was a good Mormon. Jesus was God in the flesh when he showed up. Jesus was God from day one. Jesus was from the beginning and the ending. Verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth a firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The Mormons believe that Jesus was not God in the flesh. They believe that he was just a prophet. He's just a preacher, just like you and I. Well, like me. If you're not a preacher, especially if you're a woman, you shouldn't be a preacher. But that he was just a preacher. He's just a prophet. But he lived such a good life that he eventually became a God. Not the God, just a God. The Bible's very clear that he was God in the flesh. That God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That's what the Bible says. But they believe that Jesus was just a man who became a God. Number four, the Mormons believe that Jesus, you're there in Matthew, right? The Mormons believe that Jesus was not begotten of the Holy Ghost. Now, this might not seem very important to you, but you got to understand this. The Bible teaches, you're there in Matthew 1, look at verse number 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is, look what it says, conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Do you see that? The Bible teaches us that Jesus was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Mormons do not believe that Jesus was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Let me read a quote for you. Brigham Young, second prophet of the Mormon church, said this. He said, now remember from this time forth and forever that Jesus Christ was not begotten by the Holy Ghost. That's what he said. And the Bible says, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So I got to ask you a question. Who would you believe, the Bible or this guy? He says he was not conceived of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Now here's why. See, the Mormon church is a very perverted church. And I'll try to be as careful as possible. But here's why they do not believe that Jesus was born of the Holy Ghost. Well, actually, why don't we ask them? Let me read a quote for you. Brigham Young said this. When the time that is, he's talking about Elohim, their God, you know. When the time came that his firstborn, the Savior, should come into the world and take the tabernacle, the Father came himself and favored the Spirit with a tabernacle instead of letting any other man do it. The birth of the Savior was as natural as are the births of our children. It was a result of a natural action. He partook of flesh and blood, was begotten of his Father, as we are of ours. And then later, this was a famous quote from Brigham Young. Later, Bruce McConkie, who was a member of the First Council of the 70, which is, I guess, a big deal for the Mormons, he said about that quote, he said, there is nothing figurative about his paternity. He was begotten, conceived, and born in the normal and natural course of events. Let me tell you something. The Mormon church teaches that God came down as a human being and had a physical relationship with Mary. Isn't that perverted? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon her. Like when Elijah preached that great sermon and the hand of the Lord was there. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. The power of God came upon Mary. And in her was conceived Jesus in the flesh. But they say, no. That's not what happened. God actually became a human being. Came down and like picked up Mary at some club and took her somewhere and had a physical relationship with her. That's wicked. That's ungodly. The Bible very specifically tells us Jesus was begotten of the Holy Ghost. But they say, no.
Not begotten of the Holy Ghost. God came down and picked her up. You see how crazy this religion is? They believe, the Mormons believe, we talked about this already, that Jesus and Satan are brothers. And that they're twin brothers. Now let's look at what the Bible says. Remember we were in Ezekiel? Can you go back there? Can you find it quickly? I don't know, I might have told you to keep your place there, but when I tell you to keep your place in Ezekiel and Isaiah and Matthew and Timothy, then it gets kind of confusing. Ezekiel 28, can you find it quickly? Look at verse 11. The Mormons teach that Jesus and Lucifer are brothers. What does the Bible say? Look at verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub. Ezekiel 28, verse 14. This is God speaking to Lucifer. Thou art the anointed cherub. A cherub, read your Bible. A cherub is an angelic being. Okay? Satan was an angel that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Look at it says, verse 15. This is God speaking to Lucifer. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was, notice the next word, created. Lucifer was not born. He was created. He was an angel till iniquity was found in thee. Now go with me to Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews in your New Testament chapter number 1. According to the Bible, Lucifer is an angel. A cherub. A very beautiful cherub. According to the Mormons, Lucifer was Jesus. Now, who is Jesus the son of? So if Lucifer and Jesus are brothers, then who does that make Lucifer the son of? God. That's what they believe. You're there in Hebrews? Look at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1, look at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Who are we talking about so far? Who's the subject? Jesus. The Son of God, right? Whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and the upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. We're talking about Jesus. Look at verse 4. The Son being made so much better than the what? Angels. As He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. According to the Bible, are Jesus and the angels on the same level? No. He is so much better than the angels. Look at verse 5, it gets worse. Then this is God speaking. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. He's asking a rhetorical question, and he says, look, Jesus is better than an angel. He says, to what angel have I ever said, You're my Son, this day have I begotten thee? He says, none of them. You know why? Because He said, I created them. I did not give birth to them. I created them. They're created beings, and my Son is better than them. But the Mormon church says, no, Jesus and Lucifer, they're brothers. They're both the sons of God. And just like the Catholic Church, I've got to ask this question. How can it be that a religion is so wrong on everything they believe? Just so anti-Bible. Joseph said, well, the plurality of gods is very evident in the Bible. And then we read like 15 verses where God just keeps saying, I'm the only God. I'm the only God. There is no other God. There is no other God. And isn't it amazing? They believe, and by the way, the only begotten Son of God is Jesus Christ. You and I are
sons and daughters of God because we were adopted into the family. We were not begotten. You understand that? The word begotten, read the chronology in the Bible, it says so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. The word begotten means they physically came from you. My physical children were begotten from my body and my wife's body because they came from us. If I had another child that we adopted, he wouldn't be my begotten son. Now, that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with that. It just means he didn't come from me. Jesus came from God. Why? Because he is God. But you and I are adopted into the family. Okay? Go. You're there in Hebrews. Go meet to Galatians. Galatians, right before the book of Ephesians, Galatians chapter 1. Let's talk a little bit about this. Galatians chapter 1. The Mormons believe that an angel appeared to Joseph Smith and told him where the golden plates were and to form the Mormon church. Now again, they don't know where the plates are. They apparently misplaced them in the last 150 years. Which I understand, it's pretty easy to misplace, you know, these big golden plates. But that's their story and they're sticking to it. Galatians chapter 1. But Joseph Smith says, he says, because the Bible teaches different. But he says, no, an angel told me. So that's why I did it. But what does the Bible say? Galatians, you're there in Galatians chapter 1? Look at verse 8. Look what the Bible says. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8. This is the Apostle Paul speaking, and the Apostle Paul says, but the we, so he says, look, if I come to you, the we, or, what's it say, an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, he says, let him be accursed. Do you see that? That word accursed there, it means damned. It means He's, you know what he's literally saying, and I'm not trying to be vulgar here, but this is what he's saying. He's saying, let them go to hell. He said, let them be damned. Let them be accursed. Paul said, if I come to you one day, or an angel from heaven preaching any other gospel, he said, you know what? Let them be accursed. He said, I don't care if an angel appears to you. I don't care if I appear to you. I don't care who appears to you. If they preach any other gospel other than that which has already been preached to you, he said, let them be accursed. But Joseph Smith says, no, it's okay because an angel appeared to me. You see how God like just, he puts all these verses in the Bible because it's almost like, no, it's exactly like he knows that these false religions are going to start, so he just puts verses in the Bible just to show us. The Mormons, well, an angel appeared to Joseph Smith, so might be right. And then I go to Galatians 1:8 and say, well, though we are an angel from heaven, preach unto any other gospel, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. But see, that brings me to my next point. You say, well, how is it that the Mormons get away with this? Well, here's what you got to understand. Who's ever heard of the Book of Mormon? You ever heard of the Book of Mormon? The Mormons have their own... here's what it's called. The Book of Mormon. Another revelation of Jesus Christ. And they believe that the Book of Mormon is greater than the Bible. They believe that the Book of Mormon is greater than the Bible. Let me read a quote for you. Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon Church, said this. He said, I told the brethren that the Book of Mormon was the most correct of any book on earth, and the keystone of our religion, and a man would get nearer to God by abiding by its precepts than by any other book. You know who he's attacking? What book is he attacking? What book do you think? He's saying, look, he says, the Book of Mormon was the most correct than any other book. He's talking about the Bible. He's saying, you know, you would get nearer to God by abiding by its precepts than any other book. What book is he talking about? The Bible. The Mormons teach that the Book of Mormon supersedes Scripture. So when you go to a Mormon and they say, well, you believe in multiple gods. And the Bible says here, you know, over and over and over, God said that there is no other God. Here's what they say. Well, that's not right. The Book of Mormon is right. Now, what's the problem with that? Well, here's the problem with that. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 4. We got to hurry because we're running out of time. Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Look at verse number 2. Deuteronomy chapter number 4 and verse 2. Look at what the Bible says. Deuteronomy 4:2. Ye shall not add unto the words which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. That's a command in the Bible. Let me read that again. Ye shall not add unto the words which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. God instructed us to not add or diminish from His Word. You're there in Deuteronomy? Go with me to Proverbs chapter number 30. Proverbs chapter number 30. Look at verse number 5. Proverbs chapter number 30. Look at verse number 5. Proverbs chapter number 30 and verse 5. Proverbs 35, chapter 30 and verse 5 says this: Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Look at verse 6. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee and thou be found a liar. When the Mormons say, we're going to add another testament of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, add thou not unto His word, lest He reprove thee and thou be found what? Go with me to Revelation chapter number 22. Revelation chapter number 22. Revelation 22 should be easy to find. The last chapter in the Bible. Revelation 22. Look at verse number 18. Revelation 22, verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this of the prophecy of this book. But he says, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Do you see that? God says, you add to my book, I'll add the plagues that are found in this book to you. Now here's the thing. You ever read the book of Revelation? There's a whole lot of plagues. And you know what comes before Revelation 22? The great white throne judgment, which the last plague is the lake of fire. And the Bible says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God, look what it says, shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Did you catch that? God says, you take away from this book, He said, I'll take away your opportunity to be saved. I'll take away His part out of the book of life. Guess what? Your name has to be in the book of life to be saved. He says, I'll take your name out of the book of life. I'll take your spot out of the holy city. He said, you don't add, you don't take away. Let me tell you something. You want to know where Joseph Smith is right now? You want to know where Brigham Young are right now? They are burning in hell. I can tell you that on the authority of the Bible. Because God says, when you mess with His book, when you add or you diminish from it, He says, cross the line. He said, you will never have the opportunity to be saved. He said, you're damned to hell. And let me tell you something. The translators of the New International Version that removed multiple verses out of the Bible, the translators out of the New King James Version that removed multiple verses from the Bible, the translators of every other version of in the English language found today that remove and add verses from the Bible, every single one of them on the authority of the Bible is burning in hell. Period. I don't care if people like that or not. That's what the Bible says. And then you and I sit there, well, I read the New King James because it's easier to understand. You're crazy. The Bible says, add thou not unto unto the word. He says, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. You say, you know, people sometimes get upset at me because, you know, they're like, oh, do you listen to so-and-so? And I tell them, I don't listen to anybody who preaches out of the NIV. I don't listen to anybody who preaches out of the New King James. I don't listen to any, that's why I don't listen to any TV preachers, because they all preach out of false versions. And people sometimes get upset with me, well, it's just a little different. No, it's not a little different. When you add or take away, God says, you know what? You're damned to hell. When you say, well, an angel appeared from heaven, He says, let him be accursed. Joseph Smith's burning in hell right now. And Brigham Young and all the rest of them. They believe that the Book of Mormon is greater than the Bible. The Mormons believe, here's a good one for you. The Mormons believe in eternal marriage. You know how you get married and you say, till death do us part? Not in Mormon religion. When you're married, according to them, you're married for eternity. You're married in heaven. So you better choose the right one, because there's no getting out of it. But it gets worse. The Mormons believe in eternal marriage, and they believe that you're married for eternity. And ladies, guess what you get to do for eternity? According to the Mormon religion, you get to have spiritual babies for eternity. Doesn't that sound like heaven? My wife's pregnant right now. My sister's a little pregnant. You know? Let's go ask them. Would you like to do this for eternity? You ladies have been pregnant. Well, I mean, was that just heaven? Were you just so sad when you gave birth to that baby? You're like, man, I wish I was pregnant right now. I wish, because that's what the Mormon religion teaches. 내게 조비엔, because remember, how was the earth populated? Elohim had his 71 virgins, or whatever, you know. And by the way, I don't have time to go through it. But Islam and Mormonism are like the same thing. Mormonism is just a white man's Islam. It really is. But you know, Elohim had his virgins, or his goddess wives, you know, his, because they believe in polygamy as well. I don't have time to cover that. But they believe in polygamy, to be married to multiple wives. And he's having all these spiritual babies. And that's you and I. We were the spiritual babies. And obviously, I was not on the white side. Because I did not come out with blonde hair and blue eyes. Man, I was fighting for Lucifer. They believe in eternal marriage and having spiritual babies for eternity. Now, what does the Bible say? Go to Matthew 22. Don't you just like it how we can always say, like, well, what does the Bible say? Matthew 22. That's my favorite part of sermons like this. Because people are like, you're attacking the Mormons. And I'm like, no, what does the Bible say? Matthew 22. Look at verse 25. Matthew 22. Look at verse 25. They come to Jesus. They're trying to stump him. These are the Mormons of Jesus' day. They come to Jesus. They're trying to stump him. And they ask him this hypothetical question. I love it when people ask me these hypothetical questions that, like, could never happen. Could God make a rock so large that he could not pick it up? Don't waste my time. Don't waste my time with dumb questions. Look at verse 25. Now, there were with us seven brethren. They're talking to Jesus. Actually, look at verse 24. Saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now, there were with us seven brethren. And the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And at the last, the woman also died. Now, do you understand what they're saying? They're saying this. They're saying, a man had seven brothers, he married a wife, he died. His brother came along, because according to the law, that's what you're supposed to do. He married her, he died. Then the third one, then the fourth one, they all died. All seven of them. Like, that's never going to happen. You know what I mean? And none of them had children. Look at verse 27. They're trying to stump Jesus with a dumb question. At the last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Now, these people, actually, these people that are tempting Jesus, they don't believe in the resurrection. So they're trying to, like, get Jesus to sound dumb about the resurrection. Because they're like, if the resurrection's real, then if some guy marries a woman, and then he dies, and his brother marries her, and seven of them marry, if the resurrection is real, when we get resurrected, which one is he going to be married to? Now, it's very important that they said she didn't have children with anybody. Because if they would have said, like, well, he had a child with the third one, then they might have just thought, like, oh, well, he'll go with the third one. But he's like, she didn't have children with any of them. But look at Jesus' answer. You know what Jesus said? This is what Jesus said. Well, what does the Bible say? Because look at verse 3. Or look at verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. He said, if you just read your Bible, you wouldn't have to ask me a dumb question. You know why? Verse 30. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. The Bible says that when we get to heaven, when we get to the resurrection, we do not marry and we are not given in marriage. But what does the Mormons teach? That you're married for eternity. And in heaven, you're just going to have multiple, you're just, ladies are going to be loving it. They're going to be in heaven just pregnancy after pregnancy, birth after birth, just having spiritual babies all day long. Let me give you a quote. Because I just want to tell you what they believe. Joseph Smith said, wrong quote, I got a lot of them here. Joseph Smith said, a question may be asked, will mothers have their children in eternity? Yes, yes. Mothers, you shall have your children in eternity. That's what he said. He's excited about it. But the Bible says, Jesus said, hey, in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. You see how, like, the Bible just completely is just answers every question that we have? Every question you have can be found in the Bible. Amen. The Mormons believe that Jesus did not come to save us, but to be an example of the way we should live in order so that one day we can also become gods. Go to John 14. You're there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 14. They don't believe that Jesus was God in the flesh. They believe he was a human being. And they believe he was an example. Here's what they say. I've had multiple Mormons say this to me. They believe that Jesus came to earth as an example to show us the way that we should go so that we could be born. And they say, He came to show us the way. But it's very interesting, because they all say, He came to show us the way. But what does the Bible say? Go to John chapter 14, look at verse 6. Jesus, John 14, 6, Jesus did not say that I came to show you the way. Jesus said, in verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let me tell you something. Jesus did not say He came to earth to be an example of how we ought to live our lives, and we ought to turn the other cheek and do this and do that, and we should be crucified, and we should die as a martyr, and that if we live a good life, and we live the same way that He lived, and then maybe one day we could become a God like Him. No! Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. He said, I didn't come to show you the way. He said, I am the way. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the Savior. He is God in the flesh from the beginning to the end, Alpha and Omega. The Mormons are a paganistic, false, Satan-worshipping religion. The Mormons put Joseph Smith over Jesus Christ. Let me read a couple quotes for you. These quotes, man, these quotes ought to make you just like shake. They're so, I don't even feel right reading them. I'll do it anyway. Brigham Young said this. Brigham Young was the second prophet of the Mormon Church. And he said this talking about Joseph Smith, the first prophet. You know, the guy who found the gold tablets that he misplaced. He said, no man or woman in this dispensation will ever enter into the celestial kingdom of God without the consent of Joseph Smith. Did you see that? He said, the only way you're going to get to heaven is if Joseph Smith says, let's so and so in. So when you die, I guess what they think, you die, you go to pearly gates, and you say, oh, can I come in? And they're like, well, I got to check with Joseph Smith. And Joseph Smith, and he's only going to let you in if you're a good Mormon. So he says, yeah, let him in. No, not that one. That one's a Baptist preacher. No, not him. The Mormon, bring him in. Mitt Romney, bring him in. That's what he's saying. I got to get political a little bit. And all the Baptists are like, Mitt Romney, let's vote for Mitt Romney, the Mormon, the Satan worshiper. That's who you want to... I can't even say that. Forget it. No man or woman in this dispensation will ever enter into the celestial kingdom of God without the consent of Joseph Smith. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So Jesus said, you want to go to heaven? You got to get my consent. The Mormons say, you want to get to heaven? You got to get Joseph Smith's consent. Isn't that crazy? They put Jesus and they put Joseph Smith above Jesus. Joseph Smith, this is what Joseph Smith said. Let me read this. He was being attacked by a lot of people because people thought he was insane and crazy. And do you know that the reason that the Mormons started, you know, that they like took over Utah is because they literally got thrown out of every other state in the Union? I mean, in New York and Illinois and Indiana and all these different places. I mean, these Mormons just literally kicked out because they were like, you pagan, Satan-worshipping, polytheistic, paganistic, weirdo, get out of here. So they went to the desert of Utah and just formed because nobody else wanted them. But Joseph Smith was defending himself. This is what he said. He said, God is in the still small voice. And all these affidavits, and the affidavits he's talking about is like people attacking him. He said, in all these affidavits, indictments, it is all of the devil, all corruption. He's saying to these people, come on, ye prosecutors, ye false swearers, all hell boil over. Ye burning mountains, roll down your lava, for I will come out on top at last. Isn't he really arrogant? He says, this is what he says, Joseph Smith, I have more to boast of than ever any man had. I am the only man that has ever been able to keep a whole church together since the days of Adam. This is what Joseph Smith said. A large majority of since the days of Adam, a large majority of the whole have stood by me. Listen to what he said. This is what he says. Neither Paul, John, Peter, nor Jesus have ever did it. I boast that no man ever did such work as I. The followers of Jesus, this is what he said, the followers of Jesus ran away from him, but the Latter-day Saints never ran away from me yet. That's what he said. The Mormon Church put
put Joseph Smith, and let me tell you something. I have so many other quotes I could read you, but I just don't have the time. They put Joseph Smith above Jesus, and they put their prophets, they put the Book of Mormon above the Bible, but they put their prophets above the Book of Mormon. So at any time, the Mormon, the prophet, and they have a prophet right now. You know, just like Joseph Smith was, just like Brigham Young was. At any time, anything he says is above it. There's quotes where Brigham Young saying, when he preaches a sermon, like right now, like I'm preaching a sermon, he says, when I preach a sermon, every word I said is like scripture. He said, you can take it as scripture. That's how arrogant these guys are. And but let me tell you something. You know what it means when you follow a man? Let me tell you what that is. It's a cult. People call us a cult because like I preach against the queers. Because I preach that women should look like women and men should look like men. You know, because I preach like old, like because I preach the Bible. People say, you guys are a cult. Let me tell you what a cult is. A cult is when people follow a man and they do everything he says, and everything he says is just gospel. Do you know why we're not a cult? Because I don't just tell you what to do and you have to follow it. I'm like a lawyer. Every day I have to defend my case. Every time I stand up to preach, I gotta explain it. I gotta show it to you from the Bible. I gotta explain it to you from the Bible. And sometimes you still leave mad. And it's like, why are you mad at me? I just showed you the Bible. You know? It's like, I was talking to Brother Vincent, I think it was. It's like getting mad at the mailman because he brought... Oh, no, it's Brother Ron. It's like getting mad at the mailman because he brought you your bill. Like, that's what it is to get mad at the pastor. I can't believe he said, no, actually, God said it. I just brought it to you. I just brought the message. You get mad at the mailman. I can't believe you. The mailman's like, you're the one that got yourself in debt. You're the one that, you know, maxed out 4 credit cards at $20,000 each. What are you mad at me for? And that, but see, here's the difference though. Everything I say must be come from the Bible. And I got to prove from the Bible. And if I ever start teaching doctrine that's not out of the Bible, you can throw me out. Kick me out. Find another pastor. That's not a cult because God is our leader. But the Mormons, they're a cult. You know why? Because they follow a man. Let me give you one last one and we're done. Because I've already gone over, but I guess they're all just going to be like this. Sorry. Go to Acts 17. Let's do it quickly. Acts 17. Brother Vincent's going to start singing, "It's my birthday and I'll cry if I want to." So we got to get it done or he's not. Acts 17. Look at verse 26. Acts 17. Verse 26. Actually, don't look at verse 26. Let me read you a quote. The Mormons... Here's my last point. The Mormons are racist. Let me read a quote for you. This is what Brigham Young said. "You see some classes of the human family that are black, uncouth, uncomely, disagreeable, and low in their habits, wild, and seemingly deprived of nearly all the blessings of the intelligence..." I can't even read this. "...of the intelligence that is generally bestowed upon mankind. Cain slew his brother. Cain might have been killed, and that would have put a termination to the line of human beings. This was not to be. And the Lord put a mark upon him, which is the flat nose and black skin." That sounds like me. But this is what they believe. They believe that the spirit babies that took no part in the battle, that inches aside, and the descendants of Cain, the first man to murder, that God marked... Because remember the book of Genesis says that God marked him? They you know, the Bible doesn't say he marked him with a skin color. It just says he marked him. But they say, oh, well, what that's talking about is he gave him dark skin and a flat nose. That's me. My flat nose. They're racist. You're there in Acts 17? Look at verse 26. Acts 17, look at verse 26. The Bible says, this is what the Bible says. "And hath made of one blood," look what it says, "all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed that the bounds of their habitations." The Bible says that God hath made of one blood all nations. Let me tell you something very quickly, okay? Just eliminate the word race from your vocabulary. Because, you know, that is a made-up word. Races in the Bible do not exist. I hate to burst your bubble. You look up the word race in the Bible, you only find one type of race, like when you're running a race. According to the Bible, there's no such thing as races. According to the Bible, we're all made of one blood. We all came from the same people. Adam and Eve. Noah. We're all brothers and sisters in the flesh. Not spiritually, but according to the Bible, we're all of one blood. And some of us may be darker than others, or lighter than others, or shorter, or taller, or whatever, but we're all human beings. The Bible never, I would challenge you to find in the Bible, when God makes a determination on people based on their race,
place, you'll never find it. God never, here's what he does in sermon, nations. He'll say the children of Israel versus the children of the Philistines or something like that, or the Egyptians. But he never talks about race. And I can prove it from the Bible, because we can go down the lineage of Jesus Christ and you find Ethiopians and you find all sorts of different people from other, what we would consider, races. There's no such thing as races. It's a made up thing. Let me tell you something. It's made up by evolution. And another sermon for another day. But evolution made up this idea that there's these different races and some are better than, more developed than others. It's a lie. It's fake. It's not in the Bible. The Bible says, "And have made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth." Amen and amen. And let me tell you something. I am against the KKK as much as I'm against these black churches that say, well, you know, there's these churches today where it's like, it's only for black people. That is wicked as hell. And let me prove it to you from the Bible. Go to Mark chapter number 11. Mark chapter number 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Mark chapter number 11. Look at verse number 17. Say, Pastor, I can't believe you say that. Well, what does the Bible say? Mark chapter number 11, look at verse 17. The Bible says, this is Jesus speaking, and he taught, saying unto them, it is not written, look what he said. He said, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it the den of thieves. Jesus said that his house, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, the house of God, he says it will be called the house of the house of prayer. Let me tell you something. If there was one place on earth where every nation ought to be welcome and every person ought to be welcome, no matter what skin color, no matter what, you know, social structure they're in, no matter what they're driving or how much money they got, it ought to be the church of God. Everyone ought to be welcome there. There ought not be no church where it's just like, well, this church is only for white people. This church is only for black people. You got to be black to come to this church. That's wicked. Bible says he's made us all of one nation, of one blood. He says the house of God ought to be the house of to all nations. I love the song. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. But the Mormons say, no, if you're black, you can't even get saved. You're already damned. They're racist, and we carry that on today. Want to have? Let's have a church for the Chinese and a church for the white people and a church for the black people, because we don't want to get them all. You know, that's gonna cause problems. Man, bring them all in. Let them all mingle. Get uncomfortable. See, I don't like talking to visitors. Talk to visitors. We ought to be this. If there's one place where people ought to feel welcome, it's this house right here. So you're talking about your house, and I'm talking about God's house, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Let me tell you something. The Mormon religion is a satanic religion. They are not the Latter-day Saints. They are the Latter-day Satans. Because they're preaching the exact same thing. There's nothing new under the sun. The exact same thing the devil was trying to pin on Eve back at the Garden of Eden. The Mormons are trying to say today, you can be like God. You can be like God, just like Jesus. He became a God. It's wicked. It's wrong. And we ought not, you know, say, you don't get this idea where Mormons are saved. They're just like, somebody was telling me, or maybe I heard it in a sermon. I was listening to a preaching sermon, and they were saying that the Mormons, I don't have a TV, so I don't know this, but they're saying that the Mormons have this huge advertising campaign where they have like all these like commercials on TV and all these like YouTube ads and stuff where they're just like showing normal people. Like, so they're saying like, I'm, you know, a school teacher, and blah, blah, and I'm this, and I'm that, and I'm a Mormon. Because they're trying to make it seem like it's normal. It's not normal. They're in a cult. And we need to go out there and get these people saved. You know, a lot of these people are just born into it, and they've never been told the truth. But let me tell you something. The Brigham Youngs of this world, those prophets, those false prophets, they're sending people to hell. And you and I better get smart about this thing, and better start reading our Bible. You better know what you believe. So you have somebody knocking on your door and confusing you. So when they say, you know, Jesus and the devil were brothers, you can be like, well, unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. See, then you can say to these people like, ye do err not knowing the scriptures. Know your Bible. Read your Bible.
Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for our church. And thank you for a group who say, I'm interested in knowing what the Bible says. And I'm afraid that maybe we waste time talking about the dumb beliefs of these religions, but we take time to show from the Bible what the Bible says. And I pray you'd help us to be a church that would grow and learn. And Lord, that maybe we would be used of you to go out there and get a lot of Mormons saved. We love you, Father, in your precious name I pray. Amen.